Imagine a threat actor just walking into your network today, bypassing your multi-million-dollar firewall.
Right, just walking right past it.
Yeah, and not by executing some brilliant movie hacker brute force attack on your servers.
Yeah.
But because, well, because they printed their own VIP badge at home.
Just a homemade piece of cardboard.
Exactly. And your system just looked at that piece of cardboard, smiled, and waved them right through. Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. We are jumping into another deep dive today.
And it's a critical one. We are looking at a threat landscape that is moving so incredibly fast right now.
Yeah, the time between a vulnerability being announced and your network being actively compromised is, I mean, it's shrinking to basically zero.
It really is the absolute definition of a shrinking weaponization window. You know, we like to think of security as this fixed state of being, like a medieval castle.
Right. You build a wall, pull up the drawbridge.
Yeah. And you just watch the horizon. But modern threat intelligence tells a completely different story. The stone wall is actually, well, it's a chain link fence and we're standing in a hurricane.
That is the exact reality we're focusing on for you today. Our mission for this briefing is to cut through the noise and extract the high signal, crucial defender actions you need to protect your networks right now.
Because there is a lot of noise out there right now.
There really is. We've got a stack of fresh intelligence on the desk today. A rapid-fire exploit hitting Microsoft SharePoint, maximum severity alarms blaring from Adobe, and a highly sophisticated zero-day espionage campaign out of North Korea.
And while these three threats look completely different on the surface, you know, different software, different actors, entirely different methods, they all highlight one thing.
That the grace period for defenders is simply gone.
Exactly. It's gone. Let's start with the most immediate operational threat on the board today, Microsoft SharePoint.
Yeah, let's get into it.
We are looking at what happens the exact moment attackers get their hands on a blueprint for an exploit. It's a textbook example of the POC effect, the proof of concept effect in action.
I'm going to break down the details on this one because the mechanics are genuinely fascinating.
Yeah.
We are looking at CVE-2026-55040.
Right. The big SharePoint flaw.
Yeah. And for anyone not staring at a dashboard all day, this specific one is a critical security feature bypass in Microsoft SharePoint. It carries a CVSS score of 9.1 out of 10.
Which is massive.
Right. And this flaw stems from weak authentication. Basically, the attacker can bypass authentication to impersonate a user. Now, Microsoft noted it doesn't impact availability, so, like, they can't take down your system, but they can disclose files and modify data.
And honestly, in an enterprise environment, unauthorized data access and modification is often way more damaging than a system just going offline.
Really? More damaging than a full outage?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when a server crashes, you know about it instantly. The alarms go off. But when an attacker is quietly reading your CEO's strategic planning documents or, you know, modifying financial routing numbers, you might not know for months.
Wow. Yeah. Which brings us back to that VIP badge analogy. The core issue here lies in the JWT token validation pipeline.
Right. The JSON Web Tokens.
Yeah. Let's define JWT really quickly for everyone. It's essentially a digital passport used to securely transmit information between parties. A standard JWT has three parts. A header, a payload, and a signature.
Yep, the three pillars.
So the payload says something like, I am an administrator, and the signature is the cryptographic proof that the server actually issued this passport. We're talking specifically about bearer service to service, or S2S, tokens here.
Exactly.
And from my reading of the Rapid7 breakdown, the vulnerability means the security guards checking these tokens are completely ignoring the cryptographic signature. Is that right?
That analogy holds up perfectly. And the mechanics of this bypass are what make it so incredibly dangerous. It's not just a single broken lock.
Right. It's more complex than that.
Much more. Rapid7 found that the vulnerability actually chains four different weaknesses together. These weaknesses reside in two different classes within SharePoint that handle the parsing and validation logic for those tokens.
So they string them together to break the parser.
Exactly. The attacker strings these four flaws together to manipulate the token's structure. They basically trick the parser into dropping the signature requirement altogether. So they forge a valid JWT out of thin air.
Okay, so once they have that forged VIP pass, the Rapid7 Python-based proof of concept uses it to query the target's domain controller. And the script enumerates users by their SID, their security identifier.
Which is basically the unique, immutable fingerprint Windows gives to every user and group on a network.
Right, so the attacker script auto-locates the SID of a site administrator. They forge the pass, walk into the building, ask the system to point out the boss, and then suddenly they assume the identity of the boss.
Yep. And because it's a trusted internal S2S token, the system inherently trusts the session. It doesn't even second guess the commands coming from that assumed identity. You just have a ghost in the machine operating with supreme authority.
Man, that is terrifying. Now, here's where I had to push back a little on the timeline, because this is the part that drives defenders totally crazy.
Oh, patching lag?
Exactly. Microsoft patched this vulnerability a month ago, back in July 2026. Why are we talking about this as a massive headline today in the middle of August?
This is where we see that PSC effect play out in the raw data. Attackers rely heavily on the inevitable lag in corporate patch cycles. They know enterprise systems are massive and just, well, slow to update.
Right.
So Rapid7 released their Python playset earlier this week. They effectively published the step-by-step blueprint for how to chain those four flaws together. And the moment that blueprint hit the internet...
The race was on.
Exactly. The race began immediately.
The telemetry absolutely proves your point, too. Data captured by Kevin Tell recorded 12 actual exploitation attempts since mid-July. But there was a massive spike 8 of those 12 attempts that happened specifically on August 12 and 13.
Literally hours after the PPOC drop.
Literally hours. The attackers saw the blueprint, realized they didn't have to engineer the exploit themselves, and immediately spun up their infrastructure.
Yeah, they just started scanning the entire internet for unpatched SharePoint servers.
And those attempts weren't just localized testing either. They came from 8 unique IP addresses spanning Hong Kong, Japan, the Netherlands, Taiwan, and the US. I mean, it is a global dragnet.
It really is.
And incredibly, this is the 5th SharePoint flaw exploited just this year alone. We've seen a total barrage of these vulnerabilities in 2026. SharePoint is just under constant fire.
Oh, it's a high-value target, you know? It holds the absolute crown jewels of corporate collaboration. Documents, strategies, internal communications, HR files.
Right, it's a goldmine.
Exactly. So if you are managing a network right now, your immediate action is super clear. You need to accelerate your patch management speed for SharePoint immediately. If you haven't applied the July updates, your environment is actively exposed to a public exploit today.
But patching isn't the only step, is it?
Far from it. You must actively monitor your logs. Specifically, you're looking for unauthorized SID enumeration or any unusual admin impersonation attempts that originate from that JWT token validation pipeline.
So you want to catch them in that brief window while they're querying the domain controller.
Exactly. Catch them before they fully assume the admin identity and just disappear into your normal traffic.
All right. So you told me earlier that fixing SharePoint is urgent. But looking at this next stack of alerts we have here... This looks like a completely different tier of disaster.
Yeah, it is.
We are moving from a 9.1 severity to absolute maximum alarms blaring across Adobe. We're looking at a CVSS 10.0.
We are shifting from urgent to critical emergency. A CVSS score of 10.0 is literally the highest rating a vulnerability can get.
It doesn't get worse than 10.
No, it doesn't. It generally means the flaw is remotely exploitable over the internet. It requires absolutely no authentication to trigger. And it results in total system compromise.
Right. And Adobe just dropped priority one updates for multiple flaws impacting ColdFusion, Commerce, and Campaign Classic. And the stakes here are arbitrary code execution and privilege escalation.
And let's be clear about arbitrary code execution. It means the attacker isn't just reading your files like in the SharePoint exploit.
Right. It's not just read only.
No, they can run whatever software commands they want on your server. Installing malware, creating new user accounts, deleting entire databases. It is basically game over.
Wow. Now, there is a really critical distinction in the intel we have here regarding the Campaign Classic vulnerability. The updates for Campaign Classic only apply to fully on-premise deployments or the on-premise components of hybrid deployments.
Which is a huge relief for some folks.
Yeah. If you are using Adobe-hosted instances, if you're entirely in the cloud, Adobe has already remediated the issue on their end. No customer action required.
And that perfectly highlights the ongoing security trade-offs between on-premise control and cloud-hosted convenience.
Oh, totally.
You know, organizations often keep servers on-premise because they want total control over their data. But in a scenario like this, the cloud users are insulated because the vendor patched the infrastructure silently behind the scenes.
Well, the on-prem administrators are scrambling to put out a fire.
Exactly. They're working through the weekend.
And they need to be scrambling because this isn't just theoretical. Sansec is reporting active exploitation in the wild for one of these flaws. Specifically, CVE-2026-71362, which is a critical flaw in Adobe Commerce and Magento open source.
Yeah, that one is particularly nasty.
I want to talk about the mechanics of that specific commerce exploit because they are deeply concerning. The SANSEC report notes that this vulnerability lets attackers perform session switching.
Right.
It sounds like a hotel keycard glitch that suddenly lets one guest open up every other room in the building to access deeply private data. Is that a fair way to look at it?
That's a great way to picture it. Session switching is just devastating for an e-commerce platform. When you log into a website, the server creates a session state, basically a temporary memory of who you are, usually tied to a cookie in your browser.
Right, so I don't have to type my password every time I click a new item.
Exactly, but the vulnerability in Adobe Commerce allows an attacker to manipulate the parameters of their own session to hijack an authenticated session belonging to someone else entirely.
So they completely bypass the login screen because the system believes they are already authenticated as that target user.
Spot on.
They gain access to the victim's account, their purchase history, stored credit card data, shipping addresses, I mean, everything.
All without ever knowing a single password.
Man. And as if that wasn't enough, this comes less than 2 weeks after Adobe patched another max severity CVSS 10.0 flaw in Campaign Classic that also allowed arbitrary code execution.
It's just a relentless pace.
It really is. Now, looking at Adobe's mitigation advice, I have a major question. Adobe recommends installing this update, quote, preferably within 72 hours.
Ah, the 72-hour window.
Yeah, I have to push back here. If a CVSS 10.0 means the house is actively on fire, does a 72-hour window mean we have 3 days before it burns down? Like, why are they giving people 3 days?
I get the frustration. This brings up the massive friction between enterprise reality and security theory.
Right.
I mean, in a perfect world, a 10.0 is patched in 10 minutes. But Adobe knows that enterprise environments are complex, fragile ecosystems.
You can't just push a button.
No, you have testing cycles. You have change approval boards. You have rollback plans in case the patch accidentally breaks the entire e-commerce checkout process on a Friday afternoon.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, a priority one rating means this is actively targeted or highly likely to be targeted. They give the 72-hour window not because you are safe for 3 days, but because executing an emergency enterprise-wide patch any faster than that usually breaks critical business systems.
So it's just a pragmatic acknowledgement of how hard it is to turn a massive corporate ship.
Exactly. But the immediate actions for you as a defender here are twofold. First, you need to map out your footprint immediately. Verify exactly what infrastructure is on-premise versus what is cloud-hosted.
So you don't waste precious time trying to patch systems Adobe has already secured.
Exactly. And second, you must execute those emergency 72-hour patch protocols for Cold Fusion and Campaign Classic. You cannot let this wait for the standard monthly patch window. The risk of arbitrary code execution is simply too high.
Okay, so patching known flaws, whether it's the SharePoint token bypass or the Adobe session switching, is the foundational side of defense. It's the wall we talked about at the beginning.
Right, the perimeter.
But what happens when attackers bypass your perimeter entirely? What happens when they don't even bother breaking the complex cryptographic locks on your server and instead they just politely ask your employees to hand over the keys?
Well, that takes us to our final source today.
Yeah, the Lazarus Group in Operation Dream Job.
This is where human deception meets incredibly deep kernel-level technology. It's wild.
It really is. We are looking at a long-running espionage campaign by North Korea's Lazarus Group. According to Checkpoint Research, they are heavily targeting defense and aerospace professionals across France, Germany, Brazil, and India.
Very specific targets.
Very specific. And the human hook here is incredibly manipulative. The attackers are posing as recruiters on platforms like LinkedIn.
Right. Fake recruiters.
Yeah. And they offer these fake but highly compelling job opportunities at major real-world firms like Lockheed Martin and Envail. They spend time building trust, chatting with the victim, playing on their career aspirations.
They aren't scanning for open ports or unpatched software first. They are scanning for human ambition. They are exploiting the psychology of career advancement.
Wow, that's a great way to put it. So once they have that trust, the technical chain kicks in. And honestly, this attack chain is a terrifying Russian nesting doll of malware.
It really is layer after layer.
It starts simple, right? Mm. The victim is tricked into opening a malicious PDF or installing a Trojanized PDF viewer to read the supposed job description.
Yeah, and the intel notes Lazarus has been abusing this specific PDF viewer tactic since 2022. It's a tried and tested entry point. A PDF just feels safe to people.
Right, it's just standard business communication. Yep. Once that PDF viewer runs, nesting doll opens up. installs a never-before-seen backdoor called Troy.
Troy, right.
And then Troy leads to another stage called Miss2PN, which loads at least 4 different malicious modules.
Yeah.
And then at the very center of the doll, the ultimate payload exploits a newly patched Windows Zero Day.
Yeah, the deep tech surfacing at the end of the social engineering chain is staggering. We are talking about highly sophisticated stuff here.
We're talking about CVE-2026-688-20. It's a CVSS 7.0 local privilege escalation flaw in the Windows ancillary function driver for WinSock. The file is afd.elses.
Right.
Microsoft just patched it this month in August 2026. But Checkpoint Research reported it in late July, and incredibly, they saw it being actively used by Lazarus way back in early June.
Let's break down why AFD-DOSIS is such a critical target. In an operating system like Windows, you have user mode and kernel mode. User mode is where your web browser and word processors live. It's highly restricted.
Yeah, it's sandboxed.
Exactly. But kernel mode is the core of the system, where the software talks directly to the hardware. WinSock is the API that lets Windows programs connect to the internet, and AFD-DOSIS is the kernel driver that actually handles that low-level network data transfer.
Okay, so it's deep in the system.
Very deep. Because it lives in the kernel, exploiting it gives the attacker system privileges.
And system privileges are essentially the god mode of Windows, right?
Mm.
Higher even than a standard administrator account.
Precisely. Which means, for months, Lazarus was operating with a completely invisible skeleton key for the Windows kernel. They use this zero day to gain system privileges.
And then what?
Then they inject that Miss2PN module into a legitimate system process so it looks like normal Windows activity. Finally, they hide the entire operation using an updated kernel mode rootkit that they've been using to evade security software since 2022.
Yeah.
It is an immense amount of effort.
It is an immense amount of effort. But I have to challenge the premise here a little bit.
Sure.
Are highly trained defense and aerospace professionals, people who work with classified data and advanced weaponry every single day, really still falling for random LinkedIn messages with PDF attachments? I mean, it seems almost absurd.
I know. It is tempting to blame the user. You have to understand the sheer sophistication of the lure. These aren't poorly spelled emails from generic addresses, you know.
Right.
These are meticulously crafted personas. The attackers have researched the target's current projects, their colleagues, their educational background, and the exact salary bump that would tempt them to jump ship.
Wow, they really do their homework.
They do. They build a relationship over weeks, sometimes months. They talk about industry trends. When the PDF finally arrives, it's not a random attachment from a stranger. To the victim, it's a highly anticipated contract from a trusted confidant they've been talking to for a month. No technical firewall can block human trust.
Man, that is a very sobering point. You really can't write a detection rule for an engineer believing they just landed a massive promotion.
Exactly, which is why your defensive action here requires a highly specialized two-pronged approach. On the human side, generic once-a-year phishing training is not enough.
Not going to cut it.
Not at all. You need rigorous, highly specific training for your high-value targets, your engineers, your executives, your developers. You must specifically warn them about the tactics of unsolicited recruiter attachments on platforms like LinkedIn.
And probably implement policies on how to verify those contacts out of band, right?
Absolutely. Call the company directly to confirm the recruiter works there.
Okay, and on the technical side, if we assume the human element might eventually fail,
you must rely on deep endpoint monitoring. You need to configure your EDR tools, your endpoint detection and response platforms. EDR doesn't just look for known bad files. It looks for anomalous behavior.
So what are we hunting for?
You need to configure it to look specifically for local privilege escalations targeting the AFD-DOSIS driver. You also need to be hunting for unusual system-level process injections, which is the exact mechanism that Miss2PN uses to hide. You basically have to assume the initial social engineering lure will succeed and focus your technical efforts on catching the execution of the Troy backdoor and the kernel rootkit post-compromise.
Bringing that all together as we wrap up today's briefing, we are looking at a dual reality for modern defenders. On one side, you have the sheer unyielding speed of the technical race.
Right.
The second a Poochie drops for a platform like SharePoint or a CVSS 10.0 hits an Adobe server, the clock starts ticking and you're racing a global network of attackers to apply the patch and verify your logs.
It's exhausting. And on the other side, you have the slow, methodical, highly personalized human deception of campaigns like Operation Dream Job.
Yeah.
completely bypasses all of that multi-million dollar perimeter defense by simply asking an employee to open a door.
It really is a relentless balancing act for anyone managing a network today.
It is. And as you review your own security posture today, there is a broader, perhaps more unnerving implication to consider about these Lazarus attacks.
Oh, what's that?
Well, right now, this hyper-personalized targeting takes time. A human operator in North Korea has to sit there and build rapport with that specific aerospace engineer over weeks.
Right. It doesn't scale easily.
Exactly. But what happens when these threat actors start fully integrating advanced LLMs and AI agents to automate this process? Imagine a scenario where an AI can simultaneously spin up 10,000 meticulously crafted, highly conversational recruiter personas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, building trust with 10,000 different targets across your industry at once, all while dynamically generating custom malware payloads. If the human element is already our weakest link against manual social engineering, how do we defend the perimeter when the deception scales infinitely?
That is an incredibly chilling thought. When the attacker can automate patience and empathy, the threat landscape fundamentally changes.
It really does.
Well, thank you for joining us on today's deep dive. Stay vigilant, prioritize those critical patches, check your EDR configurations, and maybe take a very close second look at those incoming LinkedIn requests. We'll see you next time.